Do we ever know what happened to Randy Morgenson? I mean, do we ever...
You do find out, yes. And okay. I do... Judy Morgenson actually had been getting daily phone updates from the chief ranger of the park, and she had a recurring dream, actually. And she had this dream that she felt compelled enough to bring up, and her dream was vivid, and she described it to me three different occasions, and it wasn't always word for word, but the message was identical, and I asked her the same thing. Can you tell me about that dream again over the course of 4 years of interviewing her? And so I really wanted to make sure that this was what she had been seeing, and unless she just really had her story straight. But she had a dream that big trees, that she was driving down a mountain road and came to a clearing, and there was a lake with granite along the shoreline. And big trees were hanging over the surface, kind of like the bayou. And she looked into the water, and it was crystal clear, and there was a man with a backpack floating at the bottom of the lake. And it was a crystal clear, vivid image that Judy couldn't discount. And then she told Debbie Bird, the chief ranger, had they been checking lakes in the area and creeks and things like that. And she said they had, and as much as they can. There are thousands of lakes in the High Sierra. So there was this premonition that she had, and then... When the search was going on at the same time, there was a couple of rangers that encountered a woman that was hiking over a pass, and they just asked her out of blue, what's up with all the helicopter activity? And the ranger said, well, we have somebody missing. And at this point, it was a man and woman. The husband looked at her, and the ranger described the woman as looking, you know, kind of pale, and she actually had to sit down. And he said, well, explain to him what happened. What did you see? And she explained how when she's not, she doesn't get this any other time, but when she's in the backcountry and when she's, again, you know, in a quiet place, that she would sometimes have these visions and things that she didn't know if they were premonitions, if they were, you know, visions, whatever. But she had this dream of somebody in dire straits, in struggling and trapped underneath something. She couldn't tell what it was. She didn't know if it was like under a rock slide, if it was underwater, what. But she had this dream that somebody was stuck underneath something. And it was interesting because when this search started, psychics kind of came out in droves and were sending faxes and things to the rangers when, you know, more and more days kept passing and no clues were being found of where Randy might be. But the difference between this woman was that she brought this up and explained it to these guys before. She knew that what exactly was going on. I think I took it out of order there. They didn't tell her that there was a search going on and someone was missing, but she had this. She explained what she had seen, and so she promised that she would come back and she would tell the search and rescue people. But no one ever heard from her in particular again. But these rangers documented it in their report, and when we do decide that you'd like to hear exactly what happened to Randy, I can tell you, and she was right on.
Well, and so what do we know? What happened to Randy?
Well, 5 years later, Randy was still missing. He'd become a legend, really, in the park. And one of his good friends, a ranger, had kept up his missing ranger sign in her ranger station window. Every single season, she'd take it out, and she would tape it there, and she would always tell people about, you know, Randy, in case people would keep an eye out for her.
Were there any sightings of this mysterious missing ranger?
Well, you know, there were a couple of John Doe's, people that fit his description, that had been in hospitals with head injuries or amnesia, just a classic, you know, Hollywood situation where he met these descriptions. But being a federal employee, he had fingerprints, and they all were discounted as people mentally ill or homeless, and or one was just a car accident. But the investigator had always kept these quiet, didn't kind of go forward with them to Judy or anything before any of anything was kind of confirmed. But the interesting thing about this other ranger is that on this day in July of 2001, I think within 4 days, I don't have the exact date in front of me right here, of the date that he went missing, she got a call from some relatives that a relative of hers had died in a car accident, and she was in a funk and she was depressed, and she was a woman, a younger ranger back when Randy was around, that had kind of been mentored by Randy Morgenson, and she was getting ready to hike out of the backcountry and go to this family member's funeral, and she hiked out of the station, or she got out of the station, she looked back in at the window, and she saw the sign for Randy, the missing ranger sign, and she decided, you know what, I'm we're never going to find Randy. And she took the sign off out of the window and shoved it underneath some stuff on her desk in the cabin, and then she went back and left. So she actually took the time, looked back in, unlocked the station, went back inside, did this. On this exact same day, she came to find out later, were the day that these CCC, California Conservation Crew, trail workers were in an area of the park called the Window Peak Drainage, and they stumbled upon an old backpack. And this backpack, they thought was just, you know, a bear had perhaps dragged it up there. It was all torn up and weathered. And so they set it aside. They climbed the peak that they were kind of in this remote part of the park. They were heading toward this peak called Pyramid Peak. And they ended up coming back down. And as they were scouring down, they decided, well, if there's a pack here, may as well pick up some garbage in the area. Well, they came across a boot, and the boot had a leg bone in it. And that was Randy Morganson, without, you know, getting into all the details of everything. But they ended up having a recovery operation, and they found Randy wedged in this kind of a crack at the bottom of a waterfall, a powerful but small waterfall in the backcountry.
How would he have gotten there?
Huh?
How would he have gotten into that crack in the waterfall?
Well, it was, and this was kind of the mystery, because this is interesting, but it was a small waterfall. Vertical drop was probably only like 12 or 13 feet. But on top of the falls, there was a radio, and his radio was at the top of the falls, probably 40 or 50 feet upstream from where his body was found, where his bones were found, and then all of his gear kind of were scattered farther downstream. And it was turned on. It was actually showed that he was either trying to call for help or assistance, or just monitoring radio traffic, which are two very, very fine possibilities. But what's interesting about this is his friends really wanted to disprove any possibility that he had committed suicide. And this place that I ended up going to, it's such a benign, mellow place where, as one of the rangers put it, Randy couldn't have killed himself here if he tried. Now, of course, who's to say there wasn't any, you know, any drugs involved or an overdose or anything like that, if that was the case. But everybody really felt that they looked back at the time when he went missing, and he was in this funk. I mean, people said that he seemed heavy, and he was a guy who was just a lover of wildflowers, and he told a colleague who had mentioned, hey, it's a wet year this year, great year for wildflowers, and Randy, out of the blue that season, just a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before he disappeared, said, you know, I don't find much pleasure in the wildflowers anymore. And things like that people kind of attributed to, wow, he is depressed. And when he wasn't found, they thought maybe he did go off and kill himself, which can't 100% be discounted either, because, you know, I kind of can cover all of the possibilities as fully as possible. It's kind of like a Patricia Cornwell forensics type of a wilderness forensics thing. But most of his friends looked back and they thought, well, hey, he was in a funk. He was feeling weird. Look what he was reading. We were all looking at suicide, but Randy, more than any of us, he listened to the mountains, and if anybody could hear the mountains calling his name, it would be Randy. And so a lot of the rangers kind of stuck to that idea that, you know, this was a proper thing for Randy, but the thing is, they really felt that he did sense his impending death.